Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't think that's a very good attitude.
It's Mike Shope.
You don't think? I don't think you should be butting in when I'm talking to my team. You're my assistant, okay? You're supposed to back me up and go get me juice boxes when I tell you. Now go get me a juice box.
You know who you're talking to.
It's the Bulldog.
I'm talking to the juice box guy.
You're crazy.
I'm not crazy. I'm just thirsty.
Why don't you go to hell?
No, you go to hell. While you're there, why don't you grab me a juice box?
I'm no juice box boy, I'll tell you that.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you
it's
are.
Mike
I'm
Shope
not.
Yes, you and are. The Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Okay, all right, everybody. Good afternoon. I am the Bulldog. Happy to be with you on this kind of dreary Monday. Hopefully we're close to getting out of this dreariness. Mike Shope is indeed sick today. We had a close call on Saturday, and today was kind of the same deal, same time of the day, early afternoon. I'm not feeling good, and I'm staring at my phone going, well, I didn't get this text until you figured out that you were okay on Friday. So if I pretend I haven't seen this now and just wait it out, maybe you'll be better. I didn't do that. He's sick. Anyway, hope he feels better and can be back tomorrow. He's missing what could have been, I think, a very important show today with the discovery that I made in Canada yesterday about the existence of cucumber-flavored Lay's potato chips. there's a history, you gotta go way back to our early days together in the early aughts. When this show began with September of 2003, I don't think it was that far from that start time that we had a rather lengthy, and by lengthy, I mean, I think maybe the entirety of a show about cucumbers. Heated debate. It's frequently referenced by strangers when we meet them. And I was presented with the opportunity to try cucumber-flavored Lay's potato chips yesterday, and now and Mike's not here. So, that conversation will still be there tomorrow or whenever he feels better, I hope. Here's what we've got for you today. Sal Capaccio is in Arizona. The NFL owners' meetings are going on. Bill's brass are out there. Brandon Bean is addressing the media right now as we speak. I don't have the capability to flip a switch and bring that to you live, but we're hoping maybe we'll see how the show lays out, but a couple of hours from now to share some, if not all, of Bean talking with the media. Like you, I will be listening to Bean to see if we can glean any clues about an opportunity for the Bills to actually make a trade for DeAndre Hopkins. I'm feeling a little, feeling some Hopkins watch fatigue setting in here. We've been going at this pretty hard for, quite a few days in a row, and nothing has happened as of yet with Hopkins, certainly as it pertains to the Bills or anyone else. But we're still hoping that something can be done there. And so we'll wait to hear word from Bean if it is addressed and, just what he has to say about it. Sean McDermott, the Bills head coach, already spoke earlier today And I guess the big news out of that is that McDermott has indicated that it's looking like he's going to be the defensive play caller. We'll get into all of that with Sal when he joins us, hopefully in about an hour. With Bean being pushed back here, he was supposed to talk earlier this afternoon, I think, so he was a little bit late. Hopefully that doesn't mess with Sal's schedule too much, and we'll have Sal at the time we're planning, which is 4 o'clock, to kind of go over all of that. The big news in the league, of course, pertains to Lamar Jackson and the situation with the Baltimore Ravens, which, you know, for all the talk about him not having an agent and how much help maybe an agent could be in the process of using the media to, you know, just position oneself and gain public, you know, acceptance or leverage, if you will. Jackson did a really great job today because he dropped a series of tweets just as, shall I go with soon to be for, nah, I don't know if I want to go with soon. His head coach, as of now, I mean, he is still, you know, belongs to the Baltimore Ravens. John Harbaugh was doing what McDermott did earlier today, which is, you know, addressing the media at the owners' meetings. And just as he was about to start doing that, Jackson dropped the series of tweets that indicated that he's asked them for a trade. That predates them putting this tag on him. There's some minutiae that I'm learning about today, about what exactly can and cannot happen with Jackson. Brad Spielberger, I'll just lay this out quickly, just to hopefully avoid any confusion for us should we, you know, take calls on it and talk about it at all. Brad Spielberger, Pro Football Focus, he's like their cap guy and contract guy. I saw from him earlier today at a piece posted at Pro Football Focus that under the league rules that a team cannot trade more than the two first-round picks as stipulated under the terms of the franchise tag that the Ravens have placed on Lamar Jackson. And I'd wondered when that happened, like, does that now limit the Ravens to only trading Jackson for two first-round picks? The way that process would work, if you're not familiar or have kind of forgotten and need a refresher, is a team other than the Ravens could negotiate a contract, an offer sheet, basically, for Lamar Jackson. And if he liked the terms of it, he could sign it. The Ravens would then have 5 days to match it. And if they don't, they would receive just the two first-round picks. And that doesn't seem like fair value for a quarterback of Jackson's accomplishment when you consider what Russell Wilson was traded for last offseason and what Deshaun Watson was traded for last offseason. So there was that, and I went, oh, wow, well, so that's interesting. I mean, the Ravens must really feel like no matter what, they're just going to match because they're limiting this situation to a return of only two first-round picks, and that doesn't seem like very good business. If you ultimately have to divest yourself of a player of Jackson's caliber, you should do better in a trade than that. Well, Bill Barnwell from ESPN followed up with, and he wrote a while ago, trade scenarios, best landing spots, like who should be in, who is probably in, and like who's out. You know, the teams that are all set at quarterback obviously aren't, you know, there's no use making a case for why the Buffalo Bills should be involved in the Lamar Jackson trade. So Barnwell has that, but what I learned reading him today, I'm learning a lot today. I hope I'm passing this on in a cohesive, cogent enough fashion that you can follow. Barnwell pointed out in his piece today, which sort of updates that piece from, I don't know, a month or so ago, listing potential landing spots for Jackson, that what you could still see, the Ravens could still do better than two first-round picks in a trade of Lamar Jackson. What would have to happen is the team making the trade would have to agree to, well, really, the Ravens would have to sign Jackson to the franchise tag. Like, he could sign the tag, which, you know, in a certain way, I think maybe could be risky unless there's obviously an understanding that it's being done to facilitate a trade. If he signs the tag, the stipulation of two first-round picks being the only return in a that goes away. So he signs that tag, and then is traded for more. That is a scenario that could happen. I don't know how likely that is. Barnwell points out an example of this happening with, I believe, Frank Clark is the player that he referenced that had this done. So there is maybe that, but obviously Jackson went, I think you can say that he went like to the nuclear option here. Going public, I've been sort of waiting to see when or if he was going to do that. I have felt for a while that situation, it looked from the outside like it had deteriorated to the point where, sure, the Ravens are going to exercise their rights, they're going to protect themselves, and make sure that they get something in return for Lamar Jackson if indeed he ends up not playing for them anymore. And, you know, we were talking about it even last week and the week before, like, is it salvageable? And look, I'm not here to tell you that it still couldn't be saved, but it feels to me like once the player gets to the point of, I don't want to play for you anymore, and does that publicly, I just think that gets very tough for the organization. I think you can dig in with certain players at certain positions, probably in any sport, and say, like, you know, I have my rights. This player is my property. We drafted him. We've developed him. And we have the opportunity to still keep him. But I think going to the direction that Jackson is going now, going public with wanting to get out of there, I feel like it's only a matter of time before something happens and he gets moved out of there. Whether it is indeed that he, you know, signs the franchise tender so the Ravens can then negotiate a better trade with someone who wants Jackson and is willing to pay him, or some other team. I feel like this would have been happening already if some team was interested in the offer sheet route and only paying the two first-round picks. I guess that could still happen. And, you know, Jackson could, cooler heads could prevail, and they could work things out. But I feel like when you go to the place that Jackson has gone to now, which is, I don't want to play here anymore, and it's the quarterback, it's the face of the franchise, I just think that gets really cumbersome and difficult, I think, to solve. So I would sooner bet on Jackson sitting out some portion of this season rather than signing that franchise tender for the year and going back there and just playing with the Ravens or working out a long-term deal with the Ravens. I think if they don't find a way to facilitate him being moved, they are running a very high risk of him not playing football this year, or at least for as long as it would take. I think it's still 10 games or 11 games now. Do you have to play the 6 or is it 7 now that they changed it? The story for a long time to accrue the year's credit, right? To in other words, not be penalized for sitting out. You can sit out, used to be able to sit out 10 weeks, come back, play the final 6 weeks of the season, and you'd get your year. And maybe Jackson does that. But him starting opening day for the Ravens, I haven't really been able to see it for a while. And I think with the news today of his going public with trade demands on the Ravens, boy, I really think that makes it even less likely. So, you know, at full attention here, where is Lamar Jackson going to go if he goes? I think he will. I think the Ravens will find their way to the reality that bridges have been burned and there just really isn't a way out of this. So, excuse me, I think at some point we'll have that pore over. You know, where Indianapolis is being talked about a lot. They currently hold the 4th pick in the draft, and just hired a coach, you know, the offensive coach Steichen from Philadelphia, who had great success with a run-heavy offense led by a run-heavy quarterback in Jalen Hurts. So Jackson makes, I think, some sense to Indianapolis. There's other teams I think you can look at and understand. You should be able to understand why a team would want him. I think he's gonzo in Baltimore. I do not think he'll be playing there in September. if he plays there at all this year, I would predict it's not until, you know, late November or December, depending on the timing of the six or seven games that you'd have to play in order to get credit for the accrued season. So that is obviously huge news in the league and will be until it reaches some kind of a resolution. So we've got that to talk about at 803-0550 and the Bills and McDermott taking over play calling. I don't know how sexy a conversation there is to be had doing that. I think there are some obvious, you know, questions that I would have, I'll bet a lot of fans have, about him taking that on while being still the head coach. You know, I think we've always felt, and I think with good reason, like McDermott's strong suit, his business card, you know, he's a defensive-minded coach. He came here as from Carolina as a defensive coordinator. So, like, his hands being, his fingerprints being all over that defense, game plan-wise, is, you know, should be obvious. And I think to most fans it is. But he has not been the one calling the plays. And how much of a, you know, I don't want to say distraction. Well, I guess distraction works well enough. How much of a distraction for the head coach of the football team will it be to be calling, be in charge of calling the plays on defense? You know, talking with the guys in the booth and what they're seeing on the field and any changes that you may need to make to your game plan in the course of the game and talking about what happened on the last possession and all those sorts of things, I think could draw the head coach's attention away from, well, the rest of the game. And while I don't need him calling plays on offense, obviously they have a coordinator in Ken Dorsey to do that and put those game plans together, I do think in the flow of the game, if McDermott is wearing a new hat and it's a time-consuming, attention-consuming hat, that having some concern about him being on top of everything that's happening within the flow of the game, on the other side of the ball, could be challenging. So, like, I'm not worried about McDermott being the one in charge of the defense from a philosophical standpoint. Like, I think they've played defense despite Leslie Frazier holding the title, the defensive coordinator. I think they've largely played defense the way Sean McDermott wants them to play defense since he's been their head coach, despite his not being the one calling the plays. But what he hasn't been doing because of that is being wrapped up in all the stuff I just talked about. And that leaves him more time to be just focused on, okay, we've got the ball. It's third and four. If we get 2 yards here, is it an automatic go for it on fourth down? What do I want to do here? What are the field conditions? How's my kicker? You know, all the stuff, game management stuff, timeouts, replay reviews. I think having the play calling added to McDermott's plate could. I don't know that it will be, but it's logical enough, I think, to look at something else taking his attention away from the rest of it. And so, you know, it's not unprecedented. There have been plenty of head coaches that have done this sort of, you know, take over the play calling on offense or defense. But considering, you know, where we are on the timeline, like the Bills have been a contending team now for three straight seasons and haven't broken through, I would say I have some apprehension, at least. I don't know that it has to be a problem, but everything I'm laying out here, to me, has the potential to be problematic right now. I don't know if it's the best time for McDermott to be taking on another set of duties that come with, you know, just a lot of consumption of time and attention. So I think that could be tricky. So we've got that. That's the football stuff. And again, we'll get Sal on here in about 45 minutes. I hope. Hang on. I just want to check and see. I got a text here. And so we'll see if 4 o'clock is going to work. Sal's not sure because they're waiting on Ron Mercuria. So whatever. We'll get to Sal And hopefully we'll have enough of Brandon Bean or something from Brandon Bean to share with you. But we'll get to all of this stuff with Sal eventually. It may not be 4 o'clock as I'm looking at what he's telling me now. So there's that. And what's happening in the NFL. And 803-0550 is the phone number if you want to contribute a thought, question to that conversation. What's going on with Lamar Jackson, McDermott in the play calling? Eventually we'll get to reviewing what Bean has to say today or had to say today. And, you know, we can talk about that as well. And, of course, the Lamar Jackson stuff. The other thing that's going on tonight is that there is a hockey game downtown, and the Sabres are – what are the Sabres doing right now, Zach? Are they pulling you back in?
They are dragging us back in.
Yeah, six points right behind the Penguins, 7 behind the Islanders, and so you know a really bad, an awful stretch at the worst possible time, followed by just two lonesome little wins in a row on Friday and Saturday at home against New Jersey on Friday and on the road on Saturday in New York against the Islanders. And, you know, maybe somewhat reluctantly we're like, okay, well, let's see. Maybe if you have a good week, you know, see where we are by next weekend. The Bills. The Sabres play, of course, tonight, as I mentioned, against Montreal. That is, I don't think I had mentioned that. That's tonight's opponent. And then they don't play again until Friday when they host the Rangers. I don't have the schedule beyond that memorized at this point, but there are only 10 games left. So it's at a point where you maybe could have it memorized. I just don't yet. I haven't really even looked at April yet. But I guess we'll see how tonight goes and then how the week goes, and we'll see where they're standing as March gets close to drawing to a close. The other notable item about tonight's game, and this came up late in our conversation with Kevin Adams on Friday afternoon when he was a guest on our show. Tonight is Pride Night for the Sabres, and if you have been paying attention at all to what has been going on in the league this year as it pertains to these Pride Nights, supporting the LGBTQ communities in different NHL cities, teams have been kind of, erratic is exactly the way to put it. Maybe not. Haven't been consistent about it. Everything seemed to start when a Russian defenseman, citing his Russian Orthodox religion, Ivan Provorov of the Flyers, refused to take part in the warm-up because he didn't want to wear the jersey because he said it was against his religious beliefs. The Flyers got some heat for that. And the league got some heat for that, but the Flyers did have the warm-up wearing the jerseys, and Provorov just did not take part and then played in the game. That appears to be what is going to be the case tonight with Sabres Russian defenseman Ilya Lyubushkin. I haven't read any reference to religion being the problem for Lyubushkin, but rather very strict, very anti-human rights laws in Russia. And that there's, he feels some fear about himself or his family that he still has in Russia, where he spends a lot of time in the off season. So he's not going to take part. In between the Flyers and tonight's Sabres event, the Sabres are going to wear the jerseys. That's what Kevin Adams told us on Friday. I was grateful and excited to hear that they were, because what some teams have been doing is just canceling the jerseys altogether. The Islanders, the Rangers, the Minnesota Wild, the Chicago Blackhawks are teams that I know of just off the top of my head who had originally planned to wear jerseys. And then after what happened with the Flyers and the criticism of Provorov, I don't know, you know, from a logistical, like the machinations of how these teams came to cancel wearing the jerseys. They still had, you know, Pride Night elements within their game night presentation, but they did not wear the jerseys in warmups. Then just last weekend, we had, and then into last week, the San Jose Sharks wore the jerseys. Their goaltender, James Reimer, citing his religious beliefs, refused to wear it and had to talk about it and issue statements. Likewise, the Stahl brothers in Florida, Eric and Mark Stahl, the Florida Panthers, went through with their plans to wear the jerseys. These two players did not participate and issued similar statements. So I was wondering, when I asked Kevin Adams about it on Friday, I really was just, I had no idea what the Sabres' plans were. I hadn't been able to find reference to jerseys being a part of Pride Night in any of the promotional material that was associated with what was happening. So when I asked Kevin and he said they're going to wear the jerseys, I was really glad to hear that. Because I think, look, I am not here to at all criticize Ilya Lyubushkin. I don't agree with players citing their Christian religious beliefs as a reason for not wearing the jerseys, but that's how they choose to live their lives. I'm also not here to like tear that apart and try to poke holes in it. What I am here to tell you is that the right thing to do, I think, for organizations and for businesses that are in the position of some influence, like hockey teams are, to continue to support this community in their community and around the league. And so I think the Sabres and the Sharks and the Panthers, teams that since this controversy has been bubbling around the league, followed through despite players on their teams not wanting to take part for, again, differing reasons, but bottom line is they didn't want to take part, and that did not stop the teams from continuing to show their support in the strongest way possible, at least from, you know, a scheduling standpoint, having these jerseys made and wearing them, and then I assume auctioning them off. I'm proud of the Sabres. I'm proud of the Sharks and the Panthers, who didn't just bail on the whole idea because a couple of their players were not going to be able to take part. I think that's the right thing to do. So I was grateful to hear Adam say that they were going to wear the jerseys and that they are indeed going to wear them tonight. So that's what we've got going on. We've got some football stuff happening in Arizona, and we've got some hockey stuff, of course, attached to Pride Night happening tonight in downtown Buffalo. So that's the lay of the land. You want to chime in on any of what's come up so far? Lines are open at 803-0550. I am the Bulldog. Mike Chope has the day off, along with Zach Jones. You're listening to WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.